Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the show. Honest Chronic, hosted by Kyle. Enjoy.
Freaks, geeks, and nerds alike, we love you.
Family, 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 family. Whoop whoop, whoop whoop, whoop whoop, whoop whoop.
Guys, I couldn't tell you how many times I have chanted that song or those words at a psychopathic record show. That's right. This is True Life. I'm an old juggalo. So, where I left off yesterday, I was talking about my past and my drug addiction. And I had mentioned about how I had met a group of guys that I later was trying to find to hang out with. The reason was because they were people that at the time when I originally met them seemed like the type of people that I wanted to hang out with. I could tell they were into ICP. They would play it on the boombox that was at the pool hall. And I was always nervous to talk to them, and I didn't really know why I was nervous. I was usually pretty open to everybody and could talk to anyone, after learning that from my dad in a way. And so one day I was hanging out with my buddy Ben, and he was like, "Yeah, man, I moved into this new place. You should come over and check it out." "All right, yeah, you know, I'll stop by." And I was trying to find somewhere to move in. I think I was living in like a garage at the time. And I went over there and I met this dude named Frankie. Frankie was a old school juggalo, around the same age as I was. We instantly like connected. We instantly became homies, like right away for some reason. We felt this bond between each other, and I think I knew his girlfriend as well. I just hadn't met him, and he had always told me how he kind of heard stuff about me and wanted to meet Cooter, which was my nickname. So I started going over there all the time and would hang out, and we'd always, you know, we'd get messed up, and like Halo was out, so we'd always be playing like multiplayers. And he lived there with his girlfriend in one room. Ben lived in the other room with his girlfriend, but they had a bed out in the living room. And eventually they asked me, like, "Hey man, you want to move in?" "Sure, why not?" And from that point on, it's kind of where my love for ICP was re-sparked. I was already listening to Cottonmouth Kings. I will always love Cottonmouth Kings. But I didn't realize that I was more of a juggalo than I was actually, you know, like a Cottonmouth Kings fan, Subnoise Rat. So I would hang out with Frankie and hang out with all the guys, and he'd introduce me to people. I ended up meeting this dude named Chris, and me and him became like brothers as well. You know, these guys they just like accepted me for who I was and didn't really expect me to change. You know, I did know who ICP was. I was around, you know, old enough to have listened to Riddlebox and Ringmaster, Jekyll Brothers. I mean, you name the six, like I listened to them. I was not an original person to purchase Riddlebox, and anybody that tells you they were is probably a liar, because only 17 of them sold, and basically all of those were to Violent J and Shaggy. I knew who they were. You know, one of my best friends, Ryan, who, like I said before, was just like a brother to me growing up, was a big ICP fan. He's the one that introduced me to him back in the day. I want to say Ringmaster was the first one I heard. And I remember him going to dances dressed like, you know, Shaggy Two Dope. And at the time, I was an athlete. I had a girlfriend that was a cheerleader. You know, so I was trying to be not a scrub, you know, to use a proper juggalo term, not a scrub. I would always be jealous, though. I'd always catch myself in the back of my head being jealous of him, like, man, you know, the music he's listening to, I love that stuff, and I know my mom hates it, but what's new? And he just felt like he was free, you know? I mean, he was kind of from a broken home. His dad was gone. His mom, you know, was working all the time. She actually worked at the hospital with my mom. And when she was home, she was more worried about his little sister that she had with somebody else. So, you know, he was kind of like an outcast, you know, in his own family, which is what made us connect, because being an only child and knowing I was adopted, I was kind of an outcast in my own family. So it was like, hey, what's up, dude? You know, outcast? Yep, outcast. Let's be friends. So he found this group of family, and it was actually before they were considered a family era. You know, he met these people that were all in ICP as well, which later then became Juggalos. I remember, like, he felt like he was part of something. He felt like he fit. Like, this is where he was supposed to be. This is what he, you know, these are his people, basically. And the people I hung out with, like, I was little in high school, and I was in sports and everything, but I wasn't, like, the most popular person. I could bounce around lunch tables. People knew me, but it wasn't like, hey, let's call up Kyle to go to this party. I didn't really feel like I fit in there. I felt like an outcast there, and I had always still listened to ICP in the background and, you know, followed the clowns and watched the shockumentary and everything. And, you know, fast forward a couple of years to when I meet these dudes, they start introducing me, like I said, back into ICP and back into Psychopathic Records. And I remember one time we were sitting out in the car. I don't know what we were doing, probably getting high, who knows. And I heard the song Afraid of Me by Twisted on the Green Book. Who is this? Oh, it's Twisted, you know, they're with Psychopathic. And they ended up showing me videos, and I was like, oh, I remember these dudes, but I thought they were just like background guys. Like, I didn't think they were anything special. And this album is amazing. You know, Jamie Madrox's verse, I am my own worst enemy. I'm not the smartest person, and I don't pretend to be. That verse stuck out to me so much. Usually I can spit the entire thing, but that's when I asked, because I felt so relatable to that verse, and was like, man, I really do feel like I am my own worst enemy. I do need therapy, you know, I don't understand why the world is so afraid of me, though. It doesn't make me not a person because of me having these issues. It doesn't, you know, I have feelings too. I started diving in more into listening to them, and then I had originally heard Tech N9ne back in 2002 when I went to college, when I was actually living in Missouri, like I said. We were driving around with one of my friends, and he played Tech N9ne, I'm a Playa. Again, who is this? Oh, it's Tech N9ne. Got home, downloaded everything I could possibly find by him on the internet for free, and fell in love with him. So, in a way, I brought Tech N9ne back to, like, my people, other than those Juggalo homies. But, like, when I came back from college, I started to introduce all these people to Tech N9ne. Fast forward 5 years later, they're all of a sudden super Tech N9ne fans, and, they gave me credit, but at the same time, some of them are like, whatever, but I don't care. So I knew the history, you know, and I knew what the lifestyle was about and what it was like, and I started to embrace it. You know, I still was kind of like, no, I like Cottonmouth Kings, you know, like, they're punk rock, you know, rap, hip-hop, punk rock. They smoke weed, you know, they're all about fight the man, you know. I was more like about Cottonmouth Kings, and it took me all the way up going to a show. It was the Hollow Wicked tour, and it was the same year I had met my birth mother, because I ended up going with one of her friends who was younger, closer to my age, who was an ICP fan who got tickets for her birthday. So I went, and my buddy Frankie was there, and, you know, I saw him in line. He had his hair all done up, face painted up, and there I am in, like, all SRH. And I don't even think I think maybe one person, like Big B, was performing on that tour. Well, maybe it was Big B and Durval, but whatever. He, for some reason, was, like, all concerned and worried about me, and was like, you know, yada yada, you know, you are a Cottonmouth Kings fan here, and some Juggalos don't like Cottonmouth Kings fans. So I'm like, whatever, man, like, I don't care about these people. And I had, not that I didn't care about the people, I just, if somebody started trouble, like, whatever. And I had recently gotten into a car accident, so my neck hurt, so I had to kind of stay up on the railings and watch from up there. But at times I would go down because I wanted to smoke or I just kind of wanted to mingle in between sets. You know, he would always be on me like a ninja. One time he kind of disappeared to go to the bathroom or whatever and comes back and I'm sitting there getting high with two juggalos and he's like, "You cool, dude?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, man, we're fine, you know." And when I was talking to him, they were like, "You know, are you a King's Spade? Are you a Cottonmouth Kings fan?" I was like, "Or are you a juggalo?" And I'm like, "You know, I don't really know exactly what I am. I just know I love both of them and I love both their families because, again, I'm an outcast. I'm still trying to figure out who I am, but I am a punk rocker at heart. Obviously, I kind of went towards the Cottonmouth Kings side because I also heard Royal Highness when it came out. I didn't know. You know what I mean? Like, I was confused. I just knew that this is where I needed to be at that point because I went and got in line and there was some band performing. And you could tell they've never said whoop whoop in their life until that night. You can tell they've never even, they probably didn't even know actually who ICP was. And I was standing in line in my Cottonmouth Kings gear, you know, and I was like, "Oh, you fake, you know, stop being fake, you know, and just saying explicit things at these people." You'll learn later that I was a pretty explicit, rude person to bands that I didn't like. This juggalo was, like, in front of me, and he heard me, and he, like, turned around and started laughing, and we were just joking around, making fun of these people, and, you know, I was up there to get a beer, and next thing I know, he turns around and hands me a beer, and I was like, "Whoa!" I'm like, "What is this for?" You know, he's like, "You have a great night, dude," and just walked away. We family. I was like, "Oh my gosh." You know, like, these people are so nice. The Cottonmouth Kings show I was at the House of Blues, and there were so many people in there that you got trampled almost. And there was just the same amount of people here at this ICP show, but, like, people are being family and mingling and hanging out, you know, and that happens at Cottonmouth King shows as well, but it gets rowdy. I'm, like, I'm sitting there, and I'm, like, getting stunned by all these ninjas, you know, and I'm like, wow, these people really, like, just embrace you. Like, they just want to be your homie. Like, you know, later you learn that some people aren't necessarily like that, but that's all people in general in life. So I started to kind of want to go to more shows, and my buddy Ben had a little bro named Spencer. That was my ninja, you know, that was my best friend. It's not my place to talk about anything, so Spencer was one of my good friends, and I remember I lived with Frankie at the time. You know, he was younger. He's easily like 4 years younger than all of us. And so I love you, Spencer. But it seemed like as an adult at that time that he was trying to do things to fit in. Later, it wasn't. This was really just him, and this is who he was. And we appreciated that. So I remember we made up some joke about, you know, he's like, "I'm going to be a juggalo. I'm going to get these tattoos. I'm going to be a juggalo." And me and Frankie were like, "All right, so here's your mission. Here's your ninja mission to become a juggalo." So we told him to go to Scary, and he had to, like, walk backwards with a hatchet man on until somebody asked him what he was doing, and then, like, rap whoop whoop or rap a, you know, an ICP song and, like, pour Faygo on himself or something totally stupid. We weren't going to let him do it anyways, but we just thought it would be funny. It was trolling before there was trolling. I still, though, was, like, all about Cottonmouth Kings, so was he. Like, me and him went to I'm pretty sure it was his first ever Cottonmouth Kings. This was the best lineup. It was Tech N9ne, Cottonmouth Kings, Head PE, Big B and Dirtball, and I want to say there was like Boondocks maybe, and it was the Strange Noise Tour. You know, me and him hit that show up twice in 1 week. We worked at a car wash and we scraped together all of our money. We, you know, sucked out change from change jars and grabbed that out of the vacuum chute. You know, we did whatever we had to do to be able to get to that show, sold whatever extra washes to get compensated for that, you know, or commission. You know, now here I am. This is my one of my best friends, one of my homies, you know, and we're at this show seeing Head PE. He comes running through the crowd and grabs me up, and he's like, "Dude, do you still got that blunt?" I'm like, "Yeah. Well, what's up, dude?" "Jared from Head PE wants to smoke with us." "What? No, he's lying. You lying." I'm like, I'm gonna follow you just in case you ain't lying. You know, how stupid would I have been to miss out on that opportunity? It's like, I'm walking up. I'm like, yeah, he's lying, whatever. Nope, there's Jared. Hey, you cooter? Yeah. You got a blunt? Yeah, let's go up to the balcony and smoke it. Holy heck, guys. This is my third favorite punk rock idol musician, you know, and now he wants to go up there and, like, hang out. I'm like, yeah, let's do this, you know. So we go up there, we hang out, and he's like, security shows up, blah, 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 just let me keep it. You guys can, like, take off. Nah, I'm gonna go ahead and keep it and just roll out. I go over to this dude's house, and it's his birthday. This guy, I don't really know how to name him here, so just dude. I meet this dude, and I had always heard stories about him. None of them were good. None of them at all were good. I don't know. He ended up going to prison. He got out. I'm still hanging out with the same group of people. It's about a year or two later. Not really much changed. It was just parties, working, you know, your everyday normal life, listening, waiting on new albums to come out. I skipped that part because, like I said, there really wasn't anything that went on until I met this guy. I remember my buddy Chris was like, hey, let's go over to dude's house and hang out. Oh, well, like, can I smoke over there? You know, yada, yada. And he had just gotten off parole. I'm sure whoever listens to this, if they know me, they know who I'm talking about. He had just gotten out of parole, so I was like, yeah, let's do this, you know. We ended up leaving, and, like, so we got over there, we smoked, and then we left and went and hit up a couple bars, because there was this one bar that we used to always go to and meet our people at, and then we'd end up at somebody's house playing beer pong the rest of the night. I remember we went up to the bar, you know, and he had recently just gotten out, and I had been, you know, he went to prison, I went to jail, but I know what it's like, you know, I know what it feels like to get out, and I eventually then was embracing the Juggalo lifestyle a little bit more, and I was like, this dude's family, my people care about him, so I'm gonna care about him, you know? So I took him up to the bar, just me and him, sat there and pounded down a couple shots and had a beer or two, and from that moment on, we became really good friends. Like, I used to go over to this place all the time, you know? And then one day, I eventually ended up moving in there. We built such a good friendship from me just coming by. He would hit me up, you know, like, hey, what are you doing? You know, come by, whatever. I ended up sleeping on his couch. Like, I think I had somewhere I was living, but I don't know. Who knows? I was in and out of places and homeless here and there at times that I can't even keep up. We would, this sounds stupid, and we would fall asleep from each other on the couch. Like, I'd be on one couch in the living room. He'd be on the other couch. We'd be just sitting there talking to each other, drunk. Just talk until we fell asleep. And finally, the roommate that lived in the other bedroom ended up moving out. So then it was just me and him. So I ended up moving into the room. The next, like, 2-3 years is such a blur, but I remember most of it. It was just full of going to concerts. We ended up not being friends at one point. We weren't really going to shows that much at that time during our friendship. We just, like, stopped being friends. I remember I was out getting food, and he called me, and he asked me if I had smoked his roaches, and I was like, yeah. The reason I didn't care about answering is because he would do it to me when he didn't have anything. And when I got home, next thing you know, I got thrown through a door, thrown through another door, and just, I was thrown out of the house at that point. So I had to, and moving into this trailer, and I stay there for a while. And he was still, like, my buddy, so I kind of still, I wanted to be friends still. Watching him on Twitter and seeing he had started this website called MUJ, MidwestUnitedJuggalos.ning.com. Seeing him do, like, a subtweet about how he really wishes he was running this page with his old homies. He knew I was watching him and following him. I knew he knew. And I knew what that tweet meant. I was at a local bar at the time, having a few drinks with one of my buddies when I saw the tweet, so I tweeted back at him finally. I broke the silence. He ended up meeting me at my place, and we just kind of squashed the beef right there, just caught up on what we were doing over a pack of 312. He was telling me about this website that he owned called, you know, MUJ. And he was telling me how, you know, Ryan and the other people that were working with him, other than April at the time, crap. This is honest chronic. You were terrible at your job. So he needed help. He needed someone that had creativity. He needed somebody that wasn't afraid to talk, who wasn't afraid to tweet, who wasn't afraid to basically do the same things I'm doing right now. The person he had helping him, he knew, wasn't going anywhere. So he knew he needed somebody that he could coattail off of to success. And I fell for it. I mean, it was nice rekindling my friendship. I had a great time running this website. I mean, we used to run contests. We had a chat room right there on the main page. We featured artists all the time, different people, even if you were from the underground. I ran the Twitter account for the website and had gotten a shout out from ICP, never even asked for it. It allowed me new opportunities. I ended up going to the Gathering of the Juggalos in 2009, and I got to see Ice Cube for my very first time ever. Never seen him again. Never even thought I would see him, but he was the opener that night. I got to see Dark Lotus for the first time, and if you don't know who that is, it's Blaze Ya Dead Homie, Shaggy 2 Dope, Violent J, Madrox, and Monoxide. They go, oh, and ABK, and then they go underneath hoods and paint their face up, and they rap under a different alias. I got to see Exhibit, like, the amount of bands, like, okay, let's see, Exhibit, Mystical, Saliva, George Clinton and the Parliament Funk, MC Chris, like I said, Ice Cube, Gwar, Mushroom Head, Vanilla Ice, Coolio. I mean, do I need to continue? Because you get an idea. And these are all people I never thought in my life that I would ever see before. So I remember when we left to go to the gathering, we were all like, yeah, it's gathering time, you know, when we were gonna wait until the morning to roll out. Of course, we were just way too excited. We couldn't go to sleep, so we just piled in the car at like midnight and just left. And it was in Cabin Rock, Illinois, and we had lived all the way up in northern Indiana. So it was about a 7-hour drive, and chugged down some 5-hour energy drinks, smoked a little bit, and hit the road. The plan was to kind of split the driving up. Well, it ended up that I drove like the last 3 hours of it. And I was so exhausted and so tired when we finally got to like the last part of the trip to get there. I remember there was cornfields on each side of me. It was really, really foggy. Like, you can maybe see an inch in front of you at the most. And I was driving, two hands on the wheel, which I normally don't ever drive like this. And I remember it felt like the car was standing still and the road was moving underneath me. It's like this old game, I can't remember the name of it or anything, but the car would stand and you would just move the slider left and right and the road would move underneath you on its own, and you had to try to fake maneuver past stuff that was painted on there. It didn't really matter if you missed it or not, but that's how it felt. I was like so delirious and had to pee so bad that when I was losing it. Finally, we get there. Oh man, the amount of cars. It was just like a sea of juggalos, as I explain it, or as I tell people. And we pull up, we park, and then I just sprint out and just run out to the field, and I go to the bathroom. I had to pee so bad. And they're like yelling at me. I'm like, you know what? At least I'm not facing you. I could be facing you right now. So finally they open the gates up and we're heading in. And as we're walking down this super steep hill, we didn't pay for a parking pass that year, but we're walking down this super steep hill. This dude comes walking up the hill and he's got this humongous cut across his chest. I'm talking like nippled abdomen cut across his chest with staples through it. First day of the juggle or of the gathering. I look at my homies and they're like, welcome to the gathering. God, shut up, dude. Like, that's not gonna happen to me, you know. I'm gonna be good. We get in there and, you know, we just had a great time. Like I said, we ended up finding this stage that wasn't actually being used for anything. It was just like a chill zone, and there was a stage next to it that was like the seminar tent. We posted up there, and then we would, like, set our chairs on the stage, and we would call it our front porch, you know? So it was, like, me and my two homies just hanging out for the next, I don't know how many days. I think it was 4 days, whatever, 3 days. On this front porch, basically, just, and all we had to see when we would look out would be juggalos walking around everywhere. So it was awesome to us at the time. You know, we were there. I'm experiencing all this for my very first time. First time being around this many juggalos, really. Other than that one concert, and it's my first time actually ever going to a festival, and I'm in my 20s now. We're walking around, and my buddy hears, shh, wait, where is it? I don't know, dude. What are you looking for? What did you hear? And he's like, you don't hear the nitrous tank? Oh, no. So he disappears, shows up with four big balloons. I'm like, I'm good. We're walking. My one friend, his balloon pops. The other guy that bought him, he did one. And then I still had mine, so he just went ahead and did the other one. Next thing I know, he fishes out, hits the back of his head on this car as it's driving by, right by the frame, the wheel well frame. Like, right on the backside. Had he fished out, like, 2 seconds or a minute earlier, he probably would have been dead. So when I'm picking him up, he's looking at me with this stupid look in his face, and he's like, welcome to the gathering. I just thought I'd set the bar. No. That is not going to be me, homie. I did usually got pretty drunk. Like, I didn't do really, I wasn't doing drugs at the time. I didn't really do acid. I ate painkillers still, you know, here and there, but I drank more than anything and smoked, so it was like, whatever, you know, as long as we got enough beer, I'm good. I remember we were walking across Drug Bridge, and this dude was standing there. Hey, man, you want to kick me in the nuts for $20? Hold on, you want me to pay you to allow me to kick you in the nuts? First, why would I pay you? Second, why would you want to let anyone kick you in the balls? And the next thing you know, this dude comes walking by with, like, with this lady, wannabe trophy wife on his arm, you know. The guy offering the kick in the nuts, you know, he's like, he pulls out this wad of cash, hands it to the dude. Dude counts it, takes a little bit, hands it to him. Is he like a carny? Is this like a freak show thing, and like you don't have balls or something, you know? But he was wearing this big, huge jumper suit, like a Michael Myers one, you know? So I could tell it was a lot baggier down in the crotchal area. I think what he would do is he would, like, absorb it, kind of. Why would you do that? I had another guy ask me to hit him in the head with a stop sign. I get it that juggalos are crazy, and you all think that you just need to bloody yourself all the time, but, like, save that stuff for the ring. You know, after the gathering, we just hit up shows. You know, we went to this one show in Detroit. They sold 1,000 tickets, and it was only for juggalos. We got there, and we were so stupid. We were so stupid. We're in Detroit, and we parked next to a burnt-down building, down a dark alley, and next thing you know, my buddy goes out. We're standing in line for the show. My buddy goes out we got in, and my friend goes out, and we're standing, you know, so he texts me, and he's like, hey, come out. We got robbed, because apparently we were allowed to go in and out. And I'm like, what do you mean we got robbed? And I get out there, and he's like, yeah, we got robbed, dude. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he, like, moves out of the way, and our window, passenger side window, was busted out. It is February, guys. It is cold outside, okay? Well, I don't have time to deal with this, you know? There's nothing we can do. The radio's missing. My wallet's here. Everything else is here. Like, let's just go back in. So we just went in. Because then at that point, the cars had all filled in. So the guy probably did it while there was still nobody there. Because we were the first ones there. We were the first people in line. Everybody in life has a bucket list. So with this bucket list, obviously, you write down things that you want to do before you die. Well, I got to mark one off that night. I've always wanted to get on stage with ICP and throw Faygo on the crowd, and I got to do it. I was so soaked with Faygo by the end of that concert and had forgot to bring a towel and clothes. Any ninjas listening that are young, pro tip, bring a towel and an extra change of clothes, and make sure you bring socks and take care of your feet. Show's over, we go outside in Michigan, they got these stacks sometimes in the street letting steam out, and it was cold, and I'm standing there, and I need a cigarette now, you know, and I'm like, oh, God, you know, I'm asking ninjas, you got a cigarette, and this one dude's like, no, and everybody leaves, and he comes running back, he's like, hey, man, I ain't got a cigarette, but I got something else for you. I'm like, what's that? And I'm like, he's like, open your hand. I open my hand, he dropped a joint in my hand. I was like, oh, that is better than a cigarette. And I just lit it right there, smoked it on the corner. Like, I didn't care. Because we had just gotten robbed. And I'm soaking wet with Faygo and Sticky. And now now I need to, I want to do what I want to do. We ended up going to the Coney Dog. There's like a Coney Dog hot dog place out there. And we ended up going there. And we, while we were out, though, we broke pretty much, I would say, almost every law in Detroit. Because we didn't care. We were like, whatever. You guys robbed us. That was our mentality. You know, you robbed us. So we get home from that trip. And MUJ is running really good. You know, they start doing this JCW, Juggalo Championship Wrestling. And they're like, every 2 weeks, there's a show. So we decided to go out there and help promote our website. You know, the website's not taking off, but it's slowly gaining process. After like 3 trips there, it was to the point where we didn't even have to promote anymore. We could just go in and enjoy our time. And I had landed an interview with this dude named Weedman on 420. And after the interview, as he was leaving, Violent J stopped by the van and decided to talk to us for a little bit. And it was really cool because they all knew who we were, Corp Robinson and Violent J at the time. You know, they knew who we were. They knew MUJ. They knew what we represented and what we were doing. How could they not? We were flying, you know, flying all their cars while the show was still going on inside, just like Shaggy 2 Dope talks about. He's like, you know, you should bring some signs in here and put your website on it, yada yada, make it look all like WWF and stuff. I was like, okay, yeah, we'll do that. And I ended up getting featured in a music video yelling at Sabu, a wrestler, and they would let us film, even though you weren't allowed to really film. They would let me get away with filming. The venue would let me stand on their bar and film. Like, we had a great time. That led us to another show in Wisconsin because we were getting such a good feedback from dropping off the cards there that we were like, let's hit every show we possibly can so that way we can get it out. Because that's what it's about, right? It's about promoting. You got to hit the streets running. You know, you got to promote yourself. You got to do the work. So we would hit every show. And we got to, I think it was Hatchet Attacks. We were passing out cards. We had like a whole fleet of us out there passing cards out. And we get home from the show, and about a week later, maybe sooner, I don't know, I get a notification of a new member. I look at it, and lo and behold, it's who I didn't know at the time, soon to be, would be my wife. This is a wonderful time to close, because I can start tomorrow's podcast about this. So, I love you guys, and I really hope you enjoyed the clown talk for a minute. I want to tell that story because when I met my wife was kind of the start to where I wanted to progress and do better in life and be a better person, and they wanted to stay the same scrubby level. And I'm not telling anyone that it's bad to be a scrub. You do what you want to do, boo-boo. But I'm just saying I didn't want that anymore.
Well, hey, kids, I hope you had a good time with this episode of Honest Chronic. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, iTunes, Google Play. And we love you. See you back here for part 2.